these guys have kicked out of everything. What the hell? Triple H! Triple H! With a pedigree to Roman! You gotta be kidding me! What the hell is he doing here? Triple H just pedigreed Roman Reigns! Why is the game here?
We don't know why, but Roman Reigns' lights are out.
Triple H is gonna help Roman with the damn match!
Not like this, not like this!
You gotta be kidding me!
No!
Reigns is eliminated! It's down to Rollins and Owens! And there's no disqualification! The official can't do anything about it! What the hell?
No!
What's going on? A pedigree to Rollins!
What is...
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Kevin Owens, the cover! Kevin Owens is the Universal Champion! Kevin Owens is champion!
Here is your winner and the new WWE Universal Champion, Kevin Owens!
What did we just witness?
I can't believe it just happened!
You are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
All I'm doing is holla, holla, hollin' for the dollar, dollar, dollar.
You are now tuned in to the Gerwick Report podcast. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, and today is Wednesday, August the 31st, 2016. It's episode 148 of the podcast that continues to tell it like it is. Quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, the fabulous one, the Frankster himself, Frank D.
Well, damn, Steve, you just took it all. But let me do it correctly. It is the fabulous Frankie Frankster D up in his bitch right here. What's going on, player? Happy belated birthday to ya.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And also, let me tag in one-third of the triple threat to round it out today. He is the former ECW and general manager of SmackDown. He is the manager of legends, including The Undertaker, The Skyscrapers. He is a former referee. He is a Gerwick.net Hall of Famer. The one and only Theodore R. Long. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing very good. And once again, let me tell you happy birthday to you. I hope you had a nice birthday, Steve Areno. How was that birthday? Tell me a little bit about it.
Great. You know, it's been a long time since I celebrated a birthday out of town, so I got to Chicago over the weekend and got to see the sights there, the museum, the planetarium. It was interesting. It's an interesting trip. You know Chicago, Teddy. It's an interesting town. It was an interesting weekend, enjoyable. Overall, it was a pretty good trip.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. Sounds like you had a good birthday, you and the family. Well, let me say hello to my main man, the magnificent Frankster, holla holla player.
Well, you know what, Teddy? That's another nickname that I'm going to take now. The magnificent, fabulous Frankie Frankster D up in his bitch. What's
and you deserve
this?
every one of them because you are all of that. Believe
well,
that.
Well, thank you very much. You know, from one player to the other player, if you will. And Steve, I got to ask you real quick. Because you say you went to Chicago, you didn't venture into Chi-Raq, did you?
No, and it's funny. I got back from Chicago, and I'm reading all this news about shootings and fraudulent cops, and I'm like, I'm glad I got home safe.
Yeah. Yeah, don't go where you ain't supposed to be going.
No, I guess, you know, the big city, you stay in the shopping districts downtown. But, yeah, the traffic was just ridiculous there. But it was good to be home. It was interesting because the hotel I was staying at started its renovation. So I'm the last day we're there, it's pounding, banging. I'm down at the little breakfast hall trying to have breakfast and jackhammers going off and everything. I'm like, all right, time to get home and do the GRP.
Well, that's cool. That's what's up, man.
Good to be back with you, and we always appreciate you listening to the Gerwick Report podcast. Previous editions of the show are available at www.gerweck.net, and as always, you can download the podcast through iTunes. You can stream us on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio, and if you'd like to support us, you can buy a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. One click away for all your t-shirts for Gerwick.net and the GRP as well. And it's been a while, Frank. How's our YouTube channel doing?
YouTube channel is doing great, Steve. But before I get to the YouTube channel news, I got to send a special happy birthday out there to my co-host of the Raw Deal. He's also the host of the SmackDown Breakdown with Adam Cole, my man, Gurick.net contributor, Atley Green. Happy birthday to you, buddy.
Happy birthday, Atley Green.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Same here, player. Happy birthday.
But as far as the YouTube channel goes, YouTube.com/GurickNet, you know what, Steve? We're growing each and every day. Want to thank everybody out there that's subscribing to our channel. We got some new content coming up this week, as well as other stuff that we got planned. So check it out right now. Subscribe to the channel so you know what's up. YouTube.com/GurickNet. Check it out today.
Yeah, over the weekend, I'm away and staying in contact with the wrestling news, really through Gurwick.net. So definitely check out since 1997, the newly redesigned Gurwick.net. And something that broke over the weekend, some sad news, was the passing of Mr. Fuji. I was glad to see they paid the proper respect to him on Monday Night Raw. And when I think of Mr. Fuji, I think back to the 80s, a great time to watch wrestling, all the great wrestling managers back in the day. Because I'll be honest, I'm not old enough to really remember his wrestling career. I remember him mostly as a manager in the old WWF, the heyday of WWF when they had Bobby the Brain Heenan, Jimmy Hart, Classy Freddie Blassie, Slick was running around, Luscious Johnny V, and mostly remember him managing the magnificent Don Morocco, and of course they had that little Miami Vice show they would do on the side, and a real tragedy that we lost Mr. Fuji, 82 years old, a WWE Hall of Famer. So we send our condolences out to the family and friends of Mr. Fuji. I just wondered, Teddy, did you have any contact with him over the years? Any memories of Mr. Fuji?
No, I don't have any memories. I think I had the opportunity to meet him one time. I think when I went in the WWE in 1998, I believe he came in for something. I met him somewhere on the road at maybe a live event or something, but I really didn't get a chance to know him very well. But, you know, I would like to say, you know, God rest his soul, and, you know, our prayers and my family is certainly going out to his family.
I know, Frank, you have a lot of great memories of Mr. Fuji managing Demolition.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Survivor Series 88. You remember that match there with the two teams there? It was all these different tag teams. It was crazy. But in the end there, Mr. Fuji actually turns on Demolition and joins the Powers of Pain. So that was pretty cool. And then going back to WrestleMania 9, you remember when Bret Hart has Yokozuna in the sharpshooter and Mr. Fuji grabs that sock and hits him right in the eyes with it. And then, you know, for some reason he puts the WWF Championship on the line against Hulk Hogan later on. I don't understand that one. But, yeah, man, Fuji, in my opinion, will go down as one of the most underrated managers in the history of the WWF because, you know, when you talk about managers there in the business, Fuji's name is kind of towards the end of the list for some reason. He just doesn't get the respect that I think he's deserving of. I think people really, when they think about managers, they always talk about Bobby Heenan and they talk about Jimmy Hart, but they never talk about Mr. Fuji.
And I think a lot of that is when you think of the managers of the 80s, the heyday there of the WWF, you think of Heenan and Jimmy Hart and Classy Freddie Blassie. They just had overpowering personalities, not to mention the mic skills as well. When I think of Mr. Fuji, I don't really remember him cutting a lot of promos and talking a whole lot. They kind of let him do his Japanese shtick a little bit, and he didn't say a whole lot. I agree with Frank. I think in the annals of wrestling history, though, he's a very underrated manager. So we definitely send our condolences out to the family, remembering Mr. Fuji here today on the GRP. Monday night was Monday Night Raw, and of course they were going to crown a new Universal Champion. I guess Frank D. actually called it here on the podcast. His prediction was Kevin Owens went over, and Kevin Owens went over. KO is the new Universal Champion. Are you a little surprised by this, Teddy? Because I think a lot of people speculated that it would be Seth Rollins, but I guess new era and maybe a new champion.
Well, the thing that I'm surprised about is the way it was done. You know, actually, you know, in my opinion, they didn't crown a Universal Champion. I mean, Triple H came in at the last minute there. You saw what happened. Pedigreed everybody and then motioned for Kevin Owens to cover him. So, you know, not taking anything away from Kevin Owens. He's a great athlete. I'm pretty sure he could have held his own. You know, he was looking pretty good in the match, but what happened at the end really, to me, doesn't give credit Kevin Owens a lot of credit because he didn't beat anybody. Triple H did all the work, and he just covered him. So I would think that there may be more to this. We'll just have to watch Raw in the upcoming weeks and see what happens.
You know, Frank, I was glad to see KO go over. I've been following him a long time as Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor, and it was great to see a lot of hard work for Kevin to finally pay off, and they gave him the Universal Championship. But I agree with Teddy here. The way they did it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. Obviously, Triple H comes in and pedigrees Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens basically falls down and covers Rollins for the championship. Thoughts on the way it was booked? Did it make Kevin Owens look weak as champion? And just your overall thoughts on how they switched the title there.
Well, I don't think it really makes Kevin Owens look weak as a champion. I just think that the focus is not going to be on Triple H and why Triple H did it, than saying, hey, you know what, we have a new Universal Champion, this Kevin Owens. I think that's where the problem is going to lie there, and I think that's where the bad taste is being left in people's mouths. But other than that, I like the finish because Kevin Owens is a heel. So, of course, Kevin Owens is going to cheat to get the win, and he's going to be the ultimate opportunist and try to get the win as any best, you know, the best way he can. So I don't really think that there's a problem with the way the finish was done. I just think that the focus is not going to be on Trips and Seth Rollins and telling that story moving forward. But, you know, it's kind of funny, see, because earlier in the night, Stephanie said, tonight on Raw, we're going to crown the first ever Universal Champion.
Give me a break.
Well, that was what Michael Cole said. They were going to crown a new Universal Champion at the pay-per-view.
Right. So,
go figure.
Yeah, I guess Finn Balor's reign doesn't count. Right now, as I'm speaking, Kevin Owens is the longest reigning Universal Champion. So,
well, let me ask you guys this, because now that we're going in this new era, we have two separate brands, and this is what's always going to come to my mind when they give somebody new an opportunity to be the champion. Kevin Owens is now the Universal Champion on Raw. A lot of speculation is that they're going to switch the title at Backlash with AJ Styles going over Dean Ambrose to win that championship. And now that we've split one championship into two championships, the question will be, had they not, was Kevin Owens in line to win the WWE Championship? Was AJ Styles in line to win the WWE Championship? And I guess we should hold off reservations a little bit on AJ Styles because he hasn't won the title yet, but certainly there's a lot of speculation that he'll go over. I don't know, Teddy, in your mind, was Kevin Owens on the verge of maybe winning the WWE Championship? And do you think they would have gave him an opportunity to be the WWE champion in the old era?
Well, I don't know. That's a pretty tough question right there. You know, I really think that at one particular time that when he first came and they was giving him, you know, this big push, I could see it then that they had, you know, maybe some big plans and they, you know, possibly were going to put him in a position to become the champion. But then they stopped pushing him, and then he went back to just being plain old Kevin Owens. So I just don't know, you know, what their plans are. And sometimes I really don't think they know what their plans are. You know, sometimes some of this stuff happens right off the top of their head, or somebody makes a decision right then, and it happens. So that's a hard question for me to answer.
What do you think, Frank? You think eventually Kevin Owens would have won the Unified WWE Championship?
I think it's a good chance he probably would have, but it would have took some time for, you know, upper management to trust that he could be able to carry the company. But I think he would have. But, you know, it's kind of sketchy a little bit when you have these NXT champions come to the main roster, because a lot of times they don't really do anything with them. I mean, you know, two examples here are Neville and Bo Dallas, who are both former NXT champions, but they have come to the main roster. Would you say that these two guys would have been WWE champions? I don't think so. So I think with Kevin Owens in time, it would have happened, and it's happening right now.
I also want to ask you guys, with Seth Rollins, I think he was the favorite to win. I think it was a little bit of a curveball to go with Kevin Owens, and maybe they're setting up the storyline here with Triple H eventually maybe feuding with Seth Rollins, possibly going into next year, maybe a long storyline there. But do you feel like the backlash that Seth Rollins has right now is a lot of... He's getting a lot of flack from veterans, including Bret Hart. Bret Hart's been very vocal about Seth Rollins not taking care of people in the ring. In fact, he actually had a comment here. He says, Seth Rollins needs to improve his technique and become the safest wrestler in the business. I have great respect for Seth. I believe he'll improve and hopefully stop hurting the talent before someone gets killed. Pretty strong comments there by Bret Hart, former WWF champ, WWE Hall of Famer. Do you think, Teddy, the backlash that Seth Rollins is getting a little bit from the wrestling community, and some people really do think he's not very safe in the ring. We had this argument or debate on the previous podcast, but do you think that thought out there with some people thinking that Seth Rollins is not safe in the ring hurt him, and that was the ultimate reason they didn't give the title to Rollins on Monday night.
Well, I think, you know, we did talk on last week's show. Remember, I think you asked me a question along those lines, and I think I answered it like, you know, yeah, they may do that if he doesn't have heat with the office as far as him hurting people. So, you know, that could may have been a part of it. But, you know, I just kind of disagree, you know, with Bret Hart and a lot of other people that are saying, you know, that Seth is not safe and, you know, he's hurting people. I just don't believe he's that kind of guy. I mean, I had the opportunity to work with him, work right beside him, and he always showed me that he was a real nice guy and he cared about people. So I just don't think that him hurting Finn Balor and those other guys, Sting or whoever, in the past, I don't think he meant to do that. I mean, things just happen sometime in the ring. It's just sad that, you know, it just keeps happening to him. But, you know, sometimes you can have that jinx about you, so you never know. So I just don't know what to say about Seth. I hope they continue to go ahead and give him a push. You know, I think he's what the WWE needs. So we'll just have to see what happens with him, too. But I just don't think he intentionally tried to hurt anybody. I just don't really believe that.
Do you think, Frank, that his reputation is hurting him right now?
I don't really think so. I mean, obviously, WWE wanted to do a curveball here and do a swerve and do something that you weren't expecting, because everybody was expecting either it to be Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins to walk out the new Universal Champion. So I just think that they wanted to do something different. It's been rumored for a while that we're eventually going to see a possible feud between Triple H and Seth Rollins. So it looks like they're going to go in that direction now. And I don't really think that his reputation's hurting him. I think, you know, the fact that Sting came out, whether, you know, Sting is just being nice or whatever the situation may be, but Sting came out and said that Seth Rollins didn't hurt him. I think there's people that can say otherwise, but, you know, I don't really think that a guy like Triple H, you know, who's had a kind of a rocky relationship with Bret Hart, really gives a damn what Bret Hart thinks. You know, I don't think that they're looking at any outside factors as it relates to Seth Rollins. I think they're just going with the flow.
I think Seth Rollins may be in position now moving forward. He's going to have some high-profile matches and have people come out of the match safe. I think this reputation's hurting him a little bit. I don't know if it's cost him the championship on Monday night. I don't know if that was the original plan, is to put the title on Rollins. I kind of think it was because, I mean, he was just in the match with Finn Balor at SummerSlam. So it was a little bit of a curveball. Maybe it was a storyline curveball, you know, moving forward. Triple H against Seth Rollins in the future, possibly. You can already speculate maybe for WrestleMania next year. I don't know, Teddy. Is that something that fans want to see ultimately? Say Triple H against Seth Rollins in an upcoming pay-per-view?
Well, I think so. I would like to see it. You know, I mean, it's something, you know, it's fresh, it's brand new, it's the first time ever. So, my opinion, I would like to see it, and I think the fans would like to see it, too.
Does that excite you?
You know, honestly, it's one of those matches where it needs to be done, because the fact that Seth Rollins has been using the pedigree, and it's something different, it's something new. I mean, here's a guy who is pretty much the heir apparent, quote-unquote, with the authority, and now Triple H is gonna, you know, pretty much beat his ass. That's pretty much where they're going with this. But I want to go back to what you said a minute ago about, you know, maybe the plan was to put the belt on Seth Rollins, you know, since what happened at SummerSlam, you know, with Finn Balor. You know, maybe they were going to continue that feud. It's kind of been reported over the past couple of days, the original plan for Finn Balor was for him to feud with Kevin Owens over the Universal Championship. And I think they were supposed to, don't quote me, but I read somewhere where they might have been, you know, trying to do a feud between these two at Clash of Champions. I don't know about Seth Rollins, you know, necessarily winning the championship and being in the title picture. I really think that they wanted to put the belt eventually on Kevin Owens.
And to follow up what we talked about last week, you know, Frank, you were speculating that if the timeline was correct, that Finn Balor could come back at Royal Rumble, win it, and maybe go on to WrestleMania. Now there's at least some reports out there that he may not be back in time for that he could be out even longer. So his future seems a little cloudy right now.
Yeah, you know, the unfortunate thing here, the situation with Seth Rollins, you know, really screwed everything up, whatever plans they had for him. And it's unfortunate. Like I said, the guy busts his ass in NXT, busts his ass in Japan, comes up to the main roster, finally gets the the WWE Championship, the Universal Championship at least, and had to give it up, and now he's going to be on the shelf. And I did read those reports that when they actually started doing the surgery, they went into the area, and they saw it was a lot more damage than what they, you know, initially thought. So he might be on the shelf past the 6 months. I don't know. Hopefully, I'm just hoping for, you know, a possible miracle here where he might come back at the Royal Rumble.
And, of course, if he would come back at Royal Rumble, win it, and go on to WrestleMania, that would prove Ric Flair wrong, right? That he could actually be in a position to headline WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, he could do something that Flair never did. Absolutely.
Well, we're doing the show here on Wednesday. Usually we do it on Tuesday, so I'm going to throw it over to Teddy. Did you get a chance to see WWE television this week? What did you think of Raw and SmackDown? And the question always comes out is, you know, which show is better right now? When I watch the two shows, I think SmackDown is better.
Well, I didn't get a chance to watch SmackDown, but I did watch the Raw show, and I thought it was a better show than last week's show. I certainly enjoyed the beginning, that first segment where they had all the contenders for the Universal Championship in the ring. I also liked the way that they put the video packages together on each one of them, gave you a little history about them, kind of let you know their background and let you know what they're all about. I enjoyed that. And I especially enjoyed that last match, the main event, the Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title. I thought those guys busted their asses. You can say what you want to say about Roman Reigns, but I thought he worked his butt off in that match, did an outstanding job. And everybody else, I mean, everybody that worked in that, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Big Cass, all those guys, they worked their asses off, man. They had a hell of a match. So I really enjoyed Raw this Monday night. It was a great show, but I didn't watch SmackDown.
Yeah, any notes on Raw this week, Frank?
Well, you know what? The show actually, you know, it was, you know, it was a solid show. I will say it was solid. It wasn't a show that was going to blow me away, but it was good nonetheless. I mean, it had its moments there. We had some really good matches on that show. I mean, we got a fantastic match between Chris Jericho and Neville. And we also had another one between Sheamus and Cesaro, which is going to continue their Best of Seven series. Right now, it's Sheamus 2, Cesaro 0. Cesaro's going to have to catch up there. But I also saw a pairing that I actually liked, and I hope that they continue doing it in the future, and maybe they move her into a kind of a manager role and not necessarily a role of being in the ring as a wrestler. I actually saw the pairing this week of Dana Brooke with Anderson and Gallows, and she was doing the Too Sweet and all that stuff. So I think that might be the best role for her, is to maybe be the manager of the club moving forward. Other than that, the Universal Championship match was fantastic. People out there are saying that Roman Reigns can't work, can't wrestle. Get over yourselves. He proved it the other night. He's been proving it for a while now. The guy can actually go out there and go. All right, so get over yourselves with that, you know, bullshit, because it's bullshit at this point. But I will say one thing, Steve. I don't know if you guys will agree or not. Sami Zayn looks like a damn cab driver with that hat on. I saw that the other night, and I really looked at him, and he looks like a cabbie. So.
I saw some of those guys in Chicago, so yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
He definitely does need a new look.
That hat ain't doing it for me. It's not. It's just me. It's not knocking him. It's just he looks like a cab driver. Especially, you know, got the hat on, got the jacket on. Yeah, damn cab driver. That was pretty much it, man. We got a horrible match between Titus O'Neil and Darren Young that nobody wants to see. Why are they continuing this feud?
Oh yeah, man. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I swear I was gonna talk about that myself. Let me say this too. I can kind of see the reason that they do Titus O'Neil the way that they do him. He's just clueless. Now I'll bring this to your attention. This week, this past Monday night on Raw, you saw him. They're doing a thing that we call the walk. Okay, and the walk is that Titus is walking on his way to the ring. Now, Titus got screwed the Monday before this past Monday's match. He got screwed in the match. He had problems with both Darren and Bob Backlund. All right, now, if I'm a heel and I'm a bad guy and I got screwed last week and I got the opportunity now to meet this guy again this week in the ring, and I'm a heel, what do I have to smile about? I saw him doing his walk, and he looks over and he sees some papers, and he picks these papers up and he throws them, you know, like throws them away, and then he starts laughing or starts smiling. So how am I going to believe that you're this tough guy, that you're going to go to the ring now and whoop this guy's ass that screwed you last week when you're smiling? You know what I mean? What do you got to smile about? You know, I mean, you got to make this thing look real. And I don't think Titus understands, you know, what it means to be a heel or a babyface. I think he's just out there on his own, man, just in business for himself. He's just clueless to me. And I know people say every week I'm having something bad to say about Titus O'Neil. I like Titus O'Neil. He's a great guy. He just needs to get his wrestling skills together, and he needs to know the difference between what's real and what's not real. So he's not believable to me. That's all I'm saying to you. It's the worst match in the history of wrestling. I do want to say congratulations to Darren Young. Golly, he took a hell of a bump over that top rope, and I thought he actually had hurt himself. Now, I don't know what he did or not, but he was sure man enough to continue the match and to go on through it. But he took a hell of a bump over that top rope, and I think he really busted his ass. He made that match. He had a hell of a match.
Oh, there's no doubt between the two, between Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, Darren Young is a better worker, no doubt. But, you know, what you're saying about, you know, Titus, do you think that Titus was just playing the cocky heel coming to the ring? That's what he was doing?
Yeah, I think he was just doing that. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not believable. He's not making me, if I'm a fan, he's not making me believe that he wants to do something to the guy that just screwed him over. You know, when you walk into that ring, you want to look like you come in there to put business. What do you got to smile about? You're a heel. You're a heel. You got screwed last week. Don't you remember that? It's just like somebody that may steal the tires off your car, and you finally find out who they are. Are you going to walk up to them and go to smiling to them? Hey, you just stole the tires off my car. Ha, 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 thank you. Is that going to be your approach?
Well, that might be a crackhead's approach, but nah.
Well, yeah, but I don't think Titus is on crack.
No, I'm just saying, though. That's what
I got you. I know. I'm just playing. My bad.
Well, hell, Teddy, if people are saying you're being critical, I mean, you're on their show. We're telling it like it is. That's just how we see things. I honestly, is this a feud anybody wants to see?
No.
Why are we wasting our time with this?
It's like, is there anybody else on the roster that these two could possibly be feuding with right now instead of each other? Because when they're feuding with each other, nothing good comes of it.
No.
Well, I can see some of the top guys not wanting to even work with Titus because they know he ain't going to, you know, he's not going to get him over. He's not going to do his job in the ring as a competitor. So, like you say, I don't know who is it for him to work with.
I mean, where is this going to go? Is this going to lead to a pay-per-view blow-off? Or, I mean, where do they go with this? Or is it over now?
They'll probably go with Bob Backlund turning on Darren Young and making Titus great again.
I hope not.
I don't know. I wish they wouldn't have never went here to begin with. I mean, Titus had that one line at 1 week where he says, "But when were you ever great?" Hey, we all agreed. But you know, going back to what you said, Teddy, Titus, honestly, I kind of, you know, as we're sitting here, you know, talking whatever, I kind of agree with you. He's just not a good believable heel, and the reason why he's the daddy of the year.
And the other thing too, he's in the ring. And he's working with Darren Young, and he's chanting out, "You owe me. You owe me. You're going to give me everything you owe me." Where's the story of the promo that said anything about Darren owed him anything? So I don't know what you're talking about. He owes you. Why wouldn't you be talking more that when you got Darren down, beating the shit out of him, why wouldn't you be chanting over at Bob Backlund? Now he don't look so great now. Talk about making him great again. Yeah, I'm going to make him great again for you. See, look right here. I'm going to make him great. That's the story, so I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't, like I said before, man, I don't know. You know, daddy of the year, father of the year, you know, whatever you want to call it, yeah, he shouldn't be a heel. I agree with you. He's not a believable heel. I don't know. Titus is kind of one of those work in progresses. It's kind of like, but when is he going to progress? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's been there long enough to progress. I mean, if you ain't got it by now, as long as Titus has been there, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
You know, we were just talking about, I was in Chicago, and they announced that on September the 24th, a non-televised live event will feature a SummerSlam rematch, Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. Are you surprised they're going to do the rematch, not on Raw, not on SmackDown, not on a pay-per-view, but, you know, basically, Teddy, a non-televised live event?
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. So why you wouldn't have it on national TV or a pay-per-view, I just don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, what is this, Frank? Are they just afraid they're not going to sell out the Chicago show?
Could be, Steve. I don't know. I mean, I would have put that on the network, personally. I don't understand why they don't put a lot of these house shows they do, like at the Garden or in Chicago or wherever, or L.A. Why don't they have these on the network? I don't get that.
Brock's deal, he only has so many appearances, so it seems like you're kind of wasting his appearance on a Chicago event that nobody else is going to see.
Well, apparently to them, it's not a waste.
Yeah,
so,
I guess.
But if they're going to do it, it's like, okay, can we have it on the network so we can actually see it? And hopefully it's a better match than the one at SummerSlam. And it's kind of funny because apparently, Steve, Randy Orton didn't even really know what they were doing until they told him. He thought he was going to have a regular match. And then they told him pretty much, you're going to be fed to Brock Lesnar. The whole point of that match was to make Brock Lesnar a beast and get him over even more than what he was. So in reality, what did he do for Randy Orton?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
He just got to bleed like a sieve right in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, a lot of fireworks with the SmackDown show, and a lot of people wanted to see what was going to happen with The Miz and Daniel Bryan. We're going to talk about that right after this quick message, and we'll be back with more of the GRP.
Marty Daniels here, letting you know the Gerwick Report podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
For exclusive interview content and late breaking news updates, keep it locked to youtube.com/GerwickNet. Subscribe to our channel today.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gerwick Report podcast t-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gerwick Report podcast t-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Get your t-shirt today and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
Gerwick Report Podcast with Steve Gerwick, Frank D, and future WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long.
All right, we're back here on the Gerwick Report Podcast, episode 148. Definitely check out previous editions at Gerwick.net. The archive section is growing leaps and bounds, so definitely check out previous podcasts of the show. And, of course, I hinted to The Miz cutting a promo right before the break there. Got a lot of people talking. The Miz did kind of a shoot-style promo on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan basically called him that he wrestled as a coward, that he's working soft or a very safe WWE style, which, of course, The Miz took exception to, and he fired back at Daniel Bryan and said, you know, you're calling me soft. You're basically retired now. And they got in this great exchange here. Daniel Bryan said, if they would let me come back, I would come back. They won't let me come back. And he's like, well, if you really want to come back, why don't you just come back and go to the bingo halls and do those kind of shows? And, The Miz really put himself over that, he's been busting his butt in this ring for 10 years. He has no major injuries. He's always there. He's always reliable to the company whenever they need him for something, including, red carpet events, commercials, movies, whatever it is, he's always there. He's been, he's been a great company guy the last 10 years and got a lot of people talking. Was this a shoot? Was this a work? Of course, they're trying to do this talking smack after show on the WWE Network. Got a lot of people talking. I think it served its purpose. Last I saw was like 1.5 million views for this video on YouTube.
There's no gentle way to say it to me. You wrestle like a coward. You wrestle like somebody who's afraid to get hit.
Like, I wrestle like a coward.
You wrestle like a coward.
I'm the one.
If I were to create a wrestler who, to me, like embodies, like when I was an independent guy and I was thinking like, oh, okay, what's the soft WWE style? It would be that. WWE is transformed in the last.
Hold on, you had your chance to talk. You're the one that called me a coward in the wrestling ring. I'm the coward in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cowards for 1 second. Okay. The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10+ years. I have never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward.
Okay,
I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love being wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. And you love wrestling, right? Well,
yeah.
Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie
friends? Okay, I think you need to calm. That's not what this show's about.
And the GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick because the fact is you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time. You're the coward. I am not a coward. I am your Intercontinental Champion, and there's a reason I am the title. Reason making this the most relevant, prestigious title that WWE has, and I deserve the respect on SmackDown Live. Get that camera right here. Understand that this is day 141 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour, and I swear to you, I promise you, it will be the most relevant title on SmackDown Live. I could care less about those little kids on for the tag team titles and the Women's Championship and the WWE Championship. This is my show. My show. And I'm sick of all of you, my GM, sitting there criticizing me, calling me the coward. You're the cowards. I'm the one here day in and day out in that wrestling ring beating people up. Thank you very much.
What'd you think of the promo? And honestly, Teddy, this is probably one of the best promos I've ever seen by The Miz, and it makes you wonder, where's this been the last 10 years?
Well, I really like the promo. Only thing I'm concerned about here, you know, sometimes, you know, we never know what's really going on. You know, that could be a possibility that Daniel Bryan could be cleared. You know, he could be coming back. We don't know, you know, but I'm just saying, to me, right now, with Daniel Bryan being the general manager of SmackDown, I think his job basically is to maybe concentrate more on his talent, is trying to get his show to beat the Raw show or to be the number one brand. That's what I think Daniel should be really focused on right now, is getting SmackDown off the ground, him feuding with Miz. If there's not going to be any, you know, I mean, where are they going with this? That's the only thing I see right there. I don't see Daniel Bryan. I'm not saying that I don't see, but I don't think Daniel Bryan should be arguing and shooting with Miz over a promo of who's better or who's not. You know, I don't know where this is going. It's really kind of confusing to me if there's no get back. If, you know, where do they go with this? Does Daniel Bryan and Miz have a match? And we already know that, you know, Daniel Bryan may never even come back in the ring. So I just don't know what to tell you. I don't know where they're going with it.
Now, Frank, I don't know. Was this like the best promo you ever seen by The Miz?
It was up there. Yes, it was. It was one of those things where you didn't really know he had in him. And it was, you know, a lot of frustration and intensity going on with that promo. The guy is basically trying to, you know, bring some prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship, which basically means nothing now. And basically telling Daniel Bryan, you know something, you lied to your fans. You said that you'd come back and win this Intercontinental Championship, and you never did, so how can you rag on me? I work a safe WWE style, and guess what? I never get injured. I'm always here. I'm doing the, you know, the TV shows they want me to do, the movies, the commercials, whatever. I'm dressing up like a chicken. You know what I'm saying? So he's doing all these different things here, and he pretty much burned Daniel Bryan in that promo. I don't know. I, you know, I would have thought that they would have kind of focused more on Daniel Bryan and The Miz last night than what they did. I guess something happened. I haven't seen it yet, but I guess they did some more stuff on Talking Smack where Daniel Bryan actually apologized to The Miz for his comments about him. But, you know, there's kind of been that seed from day one since they drafted The Miz. Daniel Bryan said he drafted The Miz because The Miz was Intercontinental Champion because he wanted the Intercontinental Championship on SmackDown. Didn't really care for The Miz. But I'm like you guys, you know, if there's not going to be a payoff here, if Daniel Bryan is not going to come back, then I don't really see the point. But it was good. It was good nonetheless.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the purpose here? Because there's been speculation that they did this to build up a little bit with the SmackDown after show, which is on the WWE Network. It's called Talking Smack, and they had the same show, the Usos were on the show, and they brought up that the Usos are being booed, and they said, you know, why do you think you're being booed? And they said it happened at the same time they were teamed up with Roman Reigns. The question would be, are they doing this to put a little luster on this after show for WWE Network? Because obviously they want people to watch a WWE Network. Or do we speculate they're going to do something? Because I don't think Daniel Bryan is coming back. So is Daniel Bryan get a surrogate to wrestle against The Miz? I mean, now, I guess if you watch SmackDown this week, they're going to go in the direction of Dolph Ziggler, who was unsuccessful winning the World Championship. Now he's going to go and take on The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know, what is, like you guys said, what is the payoff? Do they do anything with this feud moving forward? Or what do you think, Teddy? Was this more of let's put a little bit of interest in this after show called Talking Smack, which, by the way, that's what they're doing. They're talking smack. Or do you think they'll eventually lead to a match somewhere?
Well, it's kind of like you said, you know, you don't think Daniel Bryan's ever going to come back. And I kind of got that feeling, too. I don't think he's going to come back either. So I think maybe they just, it was something that they just did to, you know, put a little spike into that show or put a little hype to it or, you know, to kind of get it off the ground, get people to watching it and paying more attention. So that's the only reason I can see them doing that, you know, because I don't see any payoff there, you know. Like you said, Daniel Bryan is never coming back, so unless you can do it this way, he is the general manager of SmackDown, and being the general manager, I may not, you know, if I'm Daniel Bryan, I may not be the guy that's going to come back and wrestle you, but I got somebody that will. You know what I mean? So he could put him in a match like that. He could put him into some, you know, he could be at ringside with somebody that a wrestler of his choice to meet The Miz. You know, that could be the payoff. They could do it like that, but other than that, I just don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's the million-dollar question, Frank. What does it lead to, if anything? And I was a little surprised. Were you surprised maybe the Usos kind of threw Roman Reigns under the bus a little bit as well?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, that's kind of where they're going with this show moving forward. It's just basically getting on there and kind of, quote-unquote, low-key shooting about things. And what the Usos said was right. It was kind of right, and then it was kind of bullshit. Because their reactions have been kind of, the fans had started turning on the Usos a long time ago before they even started hooking up with Roman Reigns. They kind of told the truth, and then it was, like I said, it was kind of bullshit. As far as the situation here with Daniel Bryan goes, I mean, they're saying that they haven't really closed the door yet on him ever coming back. The door is not closed on that. It might happen, but if they didn't clear the guy in the first place and they forced him into retirement, I don't see how it ever could happen.
The thing I questioned, too, was when I started watching SmackDown, they had Shane McMahon there, and he's like, I think you owe him an apology. And he said, you know, you can't really do that on that show. And I'm thinking that's kind of what the show is for, isn't it? It's called Talking Smack. So Daniel Bryan says, well, maybe I need to watch my tongue a little bit. Maybe I can't really be as honest as I really want to be. So was that just one or two firecrackers they threw on the show to get people to watch? Or is this going to be the future of this show where, as you said, it's kind of a shoot style, but not, you know, certainly a work. It's not a total shoot, you know, moving forward where people can go on that show and vent a little bit.
Well, you know what? When, you know, the whole thing was happening with The Miz and Daniel Bryan, Renee Young even mentioned that this show is not supposed to be about that. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are you talking about? It's called Talking Smack.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So, well, I didn't get that part. Just like I don't get the part about Stephanie saying that we're going to crown the first Universal Champion tonight on Raw. It's just these things that make no sense. So, I mean, I don't know. But Bryan was quick to come back on Shane with that, saying, yeah, here's a guy, you're saying that, but you have a problem with Brock Lesnar. I don't know. I just think what Shane was going for in the context was basically, you know something, You're the general manager of SmackDown. You have authority here, and you shouldn't be going after our talent that way. I think that's pretty much where they were going with that.
Another question might be is, what is the future of Bo Dallas? I think you mentioned him just recently there, Frank, as you were into a thought there. And Bo Dallas missed the Mexican tour this past weekend because he was arrested after he had a run-in with the law there. He was on the plane, was shouting at the flight crew while he was intoxicated from all reports. Apparently, he was singing The Circle of Life from The Lion King. One report that I saw, police officers were called in, and he was ejected and taken off the plane and, of course, taken into custody. Not good. Teddy, we know, obviously, he is the son of Mike Rotunda, the brother of Bray Wyatt, but this incident can't help his future in WWE.
No, it certainly can't. I like Bo Dallas. You know, he's a great kid. I knew, you know, known his father for many, many years. Mike and I rode together and, you know, for many years back in WCW. I hope Bo is able to keep his job, but with that kind of press, you know, WWE frowns on stuff like that, you know, him being arrested and being drunk on an airplane, you know, that kind of stuff they frown on, they just don't want. So there is a possibility that Bo may be fired or suspended or whatever. I just don't know, but I hope he's able to keep his job. And if he's got an alcohol problem or got some kind of problem, I hope the WWE can work with him and, you know, try to get him straightened out.
You know, that was my thought, Frank. I thought immediately they would respond by either suspending him or at least saying we're looking into this matter. And as if we do this podcast, I don't believe WWE's responded to that at all.
No, and you know something, he's very lucky that he didn't do anything really stupid. I mean, what he did was stupid enough, but he's really lucky that he did not do anything dumb on that plane as far as, you know, interfering with a flight crew, which is a federal offense. He might want to chill with the alcohol on airplanes at this point.
Yeah, he might want to chill with the alcohol, period. You know
yeah,
what I mean? If
yeah.
you're going to be drinking and you're going to let alcohol, you know, you do that kind of stuff to you, I think you need to leave it alone. And like I said, if he's got an alcohol problem, hopefully the WWE can, you know, get him in rehab and, you know, get some help for him and get him straightened out.
Yeah, but, you know, the double standard would be, well, hell, they fired this guy, but they keep this guy, you know?
Well, yeah, you're right about that. So, like I said, we'll just have to see, but his behavior is certainly one that the WWE frowns on. So, you know, I just don't know what'll happen. We just have to wait on that one, too.
I don't know, Teddy. Aren't you a little surprised, though, they wouldn't immediately respond by saying, you know, like, as you said, it's a public situation. People know about it, that he was arrested. They could put on the website that, you know, they're investigating the situation. They're looking into it. He's temporarily suspended from the road or whatever. I'm a little surprised that here we are Wednesday and WWE, at least publicly, hasn't made any comment about the situation.
Well, yeah, in a way I am. But like I said, you know, maybe there's some more to this that we don't know about. And maybe they are still investigating it. And I did see one report that he was pulled off of all the live events and the rest of the Mexican tour. So, you know, we just have to wait and see what happens with this.
I want to real quickly go back to SmackDown because I believe the previous week they brought out new championship belts. They're going to crown a new SmackDown tag team champions. They're going to have a new women's champion. Frank is always very critical of some of these championship belts, the designs. What do you think of the new design SmackDown championships?
Frank D. critical of belts?
Is that an understatement of the year?
It's an understatement. I'm not critical of anything. You know, I like it all. But here's the thing. It's kind of funny you mention that because all of a sudden now, Steve, all of a sudden now because Kevin Owens is a Universal Champion, everybody loves the belt now. Go figure. But the designs on SmackDown, I would have liked to have seen maybe a different design. It's we're going back into the whole being lazy. But nonetheless, I have to say the nickel on the blue strap for the tag belts, it looks damn good. Those tag team belts look really good. I have to give them kudos on that. They actually do look good. The women's championship, you know what? It's got a blue background. It's nice. It'll be really nice to see Carmella get that belt.
Yeah, Teddy, have you seen these championship belts? Have you any thoughts on the newly designed SmackDown championships?
Yeah, I like them. I saw them all. I like them. I mean, I've never been critical, you know, of the belts anyway. I mean, you know, what we are, we're in this age now where we're wrestling entertainment. So basically, you know, those belts to me is going to kind of look like Hollywood. So I like them. I think they're real nice.
They are really nice belts. Now, but the question is, moving forward, though, here, Steve, are we going to see them come up with a new WWE championship, maybe a blue strap for the belt, since Raw has the red universal strap?
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That would make the most sense. One show is blue, the other one's red, right? So why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I mean, then again, you know, as you said, you know, they make a lot of money off these replica belts. So if people already have the current WWE Championship, now you have to buy the new blue SmackDown Championship belt, right?
Yeah. I mean, and people will buy them. Definitely. They'll buy them. Yep. I've already seen people saying right now how they, you know, I got to get my hands on that Universal Championship. But last week, everybody was bitching about it. But I'm seeing a lot of people on Facebook, you know, this morning talking about how, you know, it's really not that bad of a belt after all. Go figure.
And right now, currently, they're going to crown the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I believe the final is going to be at the Backlash pay-per-view on September the 11th. And right now we have the American Alpha against the Usos in one semifinal, and we have the Hype Brothers against Rhino and Heath Slater. Teddy, who do you think is going to end up being the first SmackDown Tag Team Champions?
Oh, God, man. You know what? I'm going to pass on that, you know what I mean? Because I just don't have a clue to answer that question. I want to see what Frank thinks about that. I'm going to pass on it.
All right, so here's the deal. This is what I think about this. I think with the match between the Hype Bros and Rhino and Heath Slater, you're probably going to see Heath Slater and Rhino get the win, and you're going to see them take on probably American Alpha in the main event, which will be, I want American Alpha to win the championships, but I think to further the storyline and get Heath Slater his SmackDown contract, they're going to give it to Heath Slater and Rhino. So I'm picking them two to win the championships.
I'm going to go with the Usos. But the question really be here, I saw a promo for the returning Curt Hawkins. I guess he has major skills. So any speculation they're putting the Major Brothers back together, Hawkins and Zack Ryder, that's out the window for now. It looks like Curt Hawkins is going to come back as a solo act. What do you guys, if you've seen them, think of the Hype Brothers, which is Mojo Rawley, who they brought up from NXT, and Zack Ryder as a tag team? Any thoughts on these guys as a newly formed tag team?
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to see him tag up as of yet, so I really couldn't speak on it, you know what I mean? But Zack Ryder, he's a guy that's really been there quite a while. You know, he's really busted his butt, you know. I mean, he's done everything he was asked to do, so I would like to see it if they would, you know, is to maybe put this guy with Zack Ryder and do something with them. I mean, I think, you know, if anybody deserves, you know, a push and something done with him is Zack Ryder.
I don't think you're a big fan of this tag team, are you, Frank?
No, I'm not, Steve. You know something, honestly, Mojo Rawley, great guy with the fans. I know that for myself, just the stories I hear. But I've never been a fan of his, never been a fan of this gimmick. It was barely over down at Full Sail. How the hell do you think it's going to be over on the main roster? I honestly think that it's holding back Zack Ryder. And that's how I feel about it. I don't see any money in it at all. It's just lame.
And at the beginning of the show, I kind of speculated about the future of the SmackDown Championship. It's going to be Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles at Backlash. I think, Teddy, it's time to go in a new direction with Ambrose. He's had the championship not a long time, but at the same time, I don't think it's really clicking him representing the WWE Championship. I would think, Teddy, going into Backlash on September the 11th, the direction would be to put the championship on AJ Styles.
Give me a hell yeah!
Well, that's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do. I would certainly put it on AJ Styles, and I think that's something that the people want. You know, don't get me wrong. I like Dean Ambrose, great guy, but he's just not world championship material to me. So for my opinion on that, I would certainly put it on AJ Styles.
Yeah, we kind of speculated to this on the last show, Frank. We did the show before last week's SmackDown, and AJ deserves a championship. He's paid his dues, and I see absolutely no reason not for him to win the championship on September the 11th.
Well, you know what, Steve? You know, I tried to give Dean Ambrose a shot at being the champion, and I can't get with it. I'm just not a fan of Dean Ambrose, especially coming off of the Stone Cold podcast. This is just not the guy that you need representing the company. He's not, it's like you said, he's not world championship material. The guy, honestly, you know, a little bit of truth serum here, unpopular opinion, because there's a lot of people that listen to the show that are fans of Dean Ambrose. The guy is a mid-carder with a world title belt. That's pretty much what he is. He's not a main eventer. AJ Styles is a main eventer. He's been main eventing, you know, for a long time now. Look at all the main events the guy did down at TNA. Multiple-time TNA champion. Main eventing shows over in Japan. The guy, I mean, AJ Styles is the guy that you would want to represent the company. Seriously. He's the one who should get an opportunity at this point to hold on to the championship. And unless they're not going to do it at Backlash, I think now is the time to pull the trigger. Because I'll tell you one thing right now. Consistently, week after week, AJ Styles is one of the big reasons to watch SmackDown. Bottom line. Always entertaining. The guy has really stepped up his mic work, cutting some of the best promos, doing some of the best work in his career right now in WWE. It's like the guy has a real, you know, bolt of energy right now to really show why he is, you know, phenomenal, why he's the best. You know, and I think that he should get an opportunity with the championship. It's just, for me, Dean Ambrose, it's just not clicking. I just can't get with it. There's nothing about Dean Ambrose that says he's crazy. Nothing about Dean Ambrose that makes him out to be the lunatic fringe. I can't get with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't see it myself. Like I said before, he's just a mid-carder with the world title. And he needs to drop it.
I agree, Frick. I just don't see him as a main event player. I don't have anything against him personally. I think he's fine in the mid-card and maybe IC championship-level matches. I don't see him as a world champion at all. I think AJ is more than ready for that championship. I mean, he's been ready for years. He's former TNA champion, obviously, year after year in TNA. But if you don't go in this direction, if you don't have AJ Styles win the championship at Backlash, then what do you do with this match? Could they possibly put Ambrose over AJ Styles now? Do they do a DQ finish where they continue the feud? Or I guess because it's the first match, maybe they will want a program that's two or three matches. But I see no reason to hesitate. I think AJ Styles deserves a championship, and it's the direction to go into right now.
Well, here's the problem with that. The problem is that we've already crowned a new champion twice on the Raw brand, right? So I think WWE feels, we've already done that, so let's just keep the belt on Ambrose at Backlash and make him wait till No Mercy or something like that. So I see your point there where they might actually keep the belt on Dean Ambrose, which I think would be a mistake. I think right now AJ has all the momentum, and now is the time to pull the trigger on AJ Styles. It was time to pull the trigger on Kevin Owens a long time ago. They finally did it, but they did it because Finn Balor got injured, but it's now time to do it for AJ Styles. And if you, I think you were going to ask me, how would you do it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Read my mind here.
Right. So I think you would probably need to do some kind of a small kind of a finish here where somebody helps AJ Styles gets the win here. And maybe you have a new member of the club on SmackDown. Because, I mean, AJ Styles, even though there is no club, AJ Styles still has a club, you know, logo on his tights and all that. He still wears a club vest out there to the ring. You probably need to, you know, expand the club on SmackDown. And a lot of people are probably not with that. What the hell is he talking about? I think maybe you put Baron Corbin in that role. Maybe make Baron Corbin a member of the club. So, I mean, Baron Corbin here, I mean, last night on SmackDown, you know, and I can also see a possible feud happening between Baron Corbin and Kane at some point, since those two kind of crossed paths last night when Baron Corbin was on their way to the ring to face Dean Ambrose in the main event. Another possibility, too, of maybe a future club member, you know, and I know people are going to be like, what the hell is Franky talking about? What's he smoking? Well, I don't smoke anything. But the thing I will say is that I saw something last night in Apollo Crews that I hadn't seen before. I actually saw arrogance with Apollo Crews, cockiness, when he was doing a match with AJ Styles, and he punched AJ Styles, and he went over to the announcer's desk, and I don't know if you saw this tonight, Steve, he actually spelled out punch. And he did it in such an asshole kind of way. So I'm thinking to myself, Paul Cruz definitely needs to be a heel at this point. He definitely needs to change up the character a little bit. Because the whole coming out there and being a goody-goody and smiling, it just ain't working. And if you saw that promo that he cut before the match with AJ Styles, Steve, it looked like to me this guy was panicking on the mic. Did you notice that at all, with the shortness of breath he had when he was doing that?
He looks very timid out there right now.
Yeah, he was nervous as shit. Like, He did not want to mess up his lines. And that's got to be a horrible, horrible existence there. So, I don't know. You know, with the roster they have right now on SmackDown, I'm talking about expanding the club. I could see maybe a Baron Corbin joining the club. I could see maybe a Paul Cruz turning heel and joining the club. It's a swerve. It's something you wouldn't expect. to see from Apollo Crews. And it's all about the shock factor, right? We need something. We need shock factor in the wrestling business. So on SmackDown, I think those might be two expansions for the club in helping AJ Styles win the championship.
Yeah, let me speak on that, too, since we're talking about AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose for the championship. And I think you mentioned something where, you know, the way to do that is maybe have some interference on the club. I think the best way to do that is for AJ Styles to beat Dean Ambrose clean, right in the middle. Because your world champion has to be the strongest person on that card, that world champion. And the only way that I feel that AJ can become real strong and deserve to be, to prove himself as the champion that the people want to see, is he needs to beat Dean Ambrose right in the ring clean, 1-2-3, without any help from anybody.
See, I understand that logic, but the guy has already beat John Cena clean. I think he's kind of proved himself at this point. And I think to keep the heel factor going, and also to protect Dean Ambrose, because you know Dean Ambrose is going to want to get a rematch if Styles beats him. That could be Ambrose's out right there, that you didn't do it by yourself. You had people come out and help you. Because, really, at this point, do you really want to beat Dean Ambrose clean in the ring?
I would.
I think it would hurt. I'm just saying, WWE's point of view, I think it would hurt him more. Because, I mean, I'm not a fan of Ambrose at all as far as him being a champion or whatever, but the dude gets a good reaction when he comes out there. Do you really want to beat him square clean in the middle like that? That's why I'm coming in with the interference here from, you know, maybe new members of the club, you know, Corbin and Cruz. That's where it comes from.
Right.
And maybe even, you know, I don't know, maybe even put Carmella in that equation too. I mean, like on Raw, you know, like I said, Dana Brooke, maybe the manager of the club. Well, Carmella is beating up Nikki Bella, who happens to be John Cena's girl, so y'all know maybe you can put Carmella in that next too. I don't know. It's pretty much limitless possibilities on where they could possibly go with this moving forward. But they definitely need to change it up a little bit. Apollo Crews has no character. I think doing some kind of asshole gimmick where he's spelling out shit he's doing, I don't know, it might work.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you know, Stranger Things, when you talk about Stranger Things happening, Steve, they brought back the Headbangers last night on SmackDown. And
The Headbangers.
And I'm going to tell you right now, another truth serum here. I was never a fan of the Headbangers back in the day. I didn't see the appeal with the tag team. And they came back last night, and it was just what I thought it was going to be. Nobody gave a damn. And the reason why nobody gave a damn is because, what did they say, it was about 15 or 16 years since you saw the Headbangers in the WWE ring. A lot of the new fans today don't remember the Headbangers. And on top of this, Steve, they changed their music. They didn't even have the original music last night. Yeah, I mean, it was a good match.
Better than nothing.
It was an okay match. The guys don't look like they've aged at all. I mean, it, they looked good, but nobody gave a damn. And like I said before, I was just never a fan of the Headbangers. I never saw it.
Well, they were there when I went there in 1998. But, I mean, you know, if you're going to bring those guys in, you already got to know that the generation now, you know, don't know them. You know, I don't see why they didn't put some little vignettes together to advertise them before they came to SmackDown. You know, I don't know why they didn't do that.
Well, they played a video package last night on the show.
Well, that's last night. I'm saying, why wouldn't you... You know, why wouldn't you do something the week before? You know you got these guys booked for next week's SmackDown, so why wouldn't you have something on the last week's show? You know, advertising.
I don't think it would have mattered. The people just don't know the Headbangers. The Headbangers come from the era where it was, you know, Marilyn Manson, you know what I'm saying? They just don't get that. A lot of people, they don't know who the hell Marilyn Manson is. They say Marilyn Manson. Oh, you mean Charles Manson, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I thought that was strange. I know they've been working independently, but bring them back now. You know, this new era seems to have a lot of old faces return with this
new
era.
Well, that's what we've been saying. I mean, Jinder Mahal. I mean, was there ever really any money in Jinder Mahal?
No.
They brought him back. I mean, you know, come on, man. I will say one thing real quick, too, about Baron Corbin here, because a lot of people rag on Baron Corbin about his stomach. The way to fix that is put the guy in a singlet. Have the same shit that Kevin Nash would wear when he was Diesel. There you go.
Problem solved.
Some people make a mountain out of a molehill. You can just put the guy, a sequin on the guy, call it a day. And then people can stop ragging about his stomach and just start ragging about him as a wrestler.
You eliminate one criticism, right? For the next one.
Exactly.
It's not that he's boring or drab or anything. It's just his stomach sticks out.
Well, I mean, people pay more attention to the guy's stomach than they do his wrestling. You know, that's the point I'm trying to make here, is that they cover it up. Just put a damn singlet on the guy and be done with it. That's it.
What do you think, Teddy, Frank D's idea of turning Apollo Crews heel at this point?
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. That's exactly what they need to do. And it ain't like they don't need heels. You know what I mean? They don't have any heels. Titus O'Neil's not going to be your heel. So I think it's a great idea. That's exactly what I would do.
There, you get it endorsed by Teddy Long there.
And that's a hard endorsement to come by.
And that was a free advice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they need to do that. They need to seriously do that. I mean, Apollo Crews has all the tools in the ring, but he's lacking that charisma. He's lacking that character development. There just is none. So what I saw last night, like I said before, when he spelled out Punch and at Mauro Ranallo, I'm like, this guy could be a good heel. They did it. They pulled the trigger. But he's scared to death out there when he's cutting promos. Like I saw it last night. He's just scared to death when he's doing.
Well, you know, that happens sometimes, you know, when you're on that live show and, I'm a seasoned veteran and I still get nervous sometimes myself because you don't want to screw your lines up. But that can happen, man. But, you know, like I said, if he continues to do more of them, he'll get better and he'll get relaxed and, hopefully, he won't have no problem.
And I have to tell you right now, too, I'm really digging what they're doing right now with Carmella on the SmackDown brand. I mean, she's off to a great start. I mean, she was kind of floundering there. And I said this on our review of SummerSlam that me and Abby did on our YouTube channel, that they need to turn Carmella heel. And, they turned her. And I'm liking it. She's definitely just going out there. And she's, because she doesn't have the big cast in Enzo anymore to help her get over. You know what I'm saying? She's on her own on the SmackDown brand. So I think they're doing a phenomenal job with the woman. Absolutely. And Naomi, my God, man, Naomi in that entrance, shit, she's, I'm telling you, that girl had to have been a stripper or something at one point. I mean, the way she was out there jiggling her ass last night, my God, I had a whole bunch of 20s for her. got my credit card, just slide it right down her ass. There you go.
And maybe something else too, right, Frank?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm married, so you know, I ain't going out. I ain't going out far. My wife would kill me. She'd come in here and literally chop off my balls.
That would not be good.
Hell no, man. She cut down the Franksters. No.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but this was kind of strange. We've been for weeks now talking about Ryback, his situation. His contract did expire. He did confirm that. And apparently did his podcast where he's talking about his future and people are asking him, did you leave because of the money? And he said that he walked away from a 3-year, $1.5 million contract. So quick math, $500,000 a year is what he's claiming he walked away from. He continued to cite that he was lied to, frustrations with opportunities that didn't arise, the expensive travel expenses, which I'm sure Teddy can attest to. But I don't know. When I saw this story, I mean, what is he going to do now currently that's going to pay him $500,000 a year? I mean, every wrestler puts up with something. I'm sure Teddy can attest to that as well. I mean, nobody gets their way all the time. I understand the guy's frustrated right now, but I don't know. Teddy, do you think they really offered him a $1.5 million contract for 3 years? Or are you buying this story?
I like Ryback. I love him. He's a great guy. But I'm not buying that story. I don't think that they offered him that much money. I mean, why would they? You know what I mean? I just don't see him doing that. I think Ryback just probably got a hard on for him, don't want no part of him, and don't want to go back there anymore. And maybe he's just saying that. But it could be true. I don't know, but I don't believe that. I just don't believe that they offered him that kind of money. And I don't believe that if he was going back on $500,000 a year, $500,000 a year, ain't no way you gonna turn down that kind of money. I mean, you can put up with a lot of bullshit for $500,000 a year. That's all I can say about that. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of 20s for Naomi's ass, I'll tell you that much. So I don't know,
maybe some,
man.
50s too.
Hell yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I say 20s now. So
she's not that good.
Yeah, well, maybe a 10, I don't know. But I don't know if I buy the story or not either. And I saw footage of Ryback lately too. He was at some indie show and he was doing that Feed Me More shit. I thought that was a WWE trademark.
Apparently not. If he's using it, unless he's going to get that cease and desist.
Yeah, he might get a cease and desist sooner or later. Because you know WWE ain't going to play with that. That's their intellectual property. They're not going to play with Ryback, Ryan Reeves. They're not playing with him. You know.
No.
I don't know about that.
If this is a work and he did not get or didn't receive a contract of this proportion, then is he burying himself by putting it out there that he did get offered this much money?
No, he's just talking. He's working. That's what wrestlers do. They work everybody. You never know when a person's going to tell the truth or not. Same thing goes with Hogan. You would think Hogan would have been the guy to tell you the truth, and this guy was a complete liar. Pathological liar. You know what I'm saying? So Ryback's just working, man. It's like what Teddy says all the time. These dudes are working. Ryback's working. Ryback's trying to get as much, you know, publicity as he can. He has a podcast out right now. He's doing all these independent stuff, trying to get bookings. He's just talking right now, you know? And, I mean, he even said that Vince told him that he was going to wrestle AJ Styles at WrestleMania and he was going to squash that little twerp. I didn't even see these guys even have any kind of a nothing on TV. So I don't know if I believe that either.
So essentially you think Ryback is full of it right now.
I'm not saying that because I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, very strange. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It was very odd that they would offer him that much money if they did. And if they did, why would you turn it down at this point? This is what you've been working for, a lucrative contract like that, and maybe go on to WrestleMania. And if that was offered, AJ Styles right now, the way they're going with AJ Styles, that would not be a match you want to turn down.
Well, it was supposed to happen this past WrestleMania.
Oh, this past WrestleMania.
That's what I meant. But like I said, these guys didn't even have any interaction on TV, so I don't know if I believe that. But you know what? What did CM Punk say all the time in this interview? He would say that they would tell him, you know what? I owe you one. So who knows? maybe Vince would tell Ryback, hey, you know what? I owe you. You're going to crush that twerp. And then they hear the reaction that AJ Styles gets and all the merchandise gets, and they're like, huh, AJ Styles is a superstar. Well, I can't feed him to Ryback. Well, I don't know. I don't know if the guy's telling the truth or not. I'm not in his damn brain. I don't know.
Teddy, I don't think sometimes fans realize, you know, he talks about travel expenses, and of course I just traveled to Chicago and back, so I know what travel expenses are. You know, you get a car, you get a hotel. I mean, how expensive is it on the road? I mean, how much are you shilling out every week? I mean, obviously, airplane tickets, rental cars, restaurants. How expensive is it really on the road right now?
Well, it's according to what kind of deal you got. You know what I mean? There's some guys that have deals that they have to pay for their own rental car and pay for your own hotel. Now, here's the deal with that. You know, it's real expensive out there, believe me. But that's because a lot of guys that just start getting on the road and start traveling, you know, they don't know how to play the travel game. Well, the travel game is, well, this was my deal. You know, I always managed to meet somebody at a hotel that was real nice, or the manager at the hotel. I'd take a picture with them or sign something. And I'd always ask them, you know, I said, hey, man, when I'm back in town again, you know, you mind if, you know, take care of me on a good rate or something, you know? And the guy would say, well, yeah, just give me a call. Let me know when you're coming in town. So I'd always call the guy early if I was going back to that town and say, hey, this is Teddy Long, I'm coming back to your hotel, man, take care of me. And guys would always do that. I had a great deal with the Marriott. I used to stay in Marriott for $39, $49 a week, a night. And Kyoto and a lot of guys would ride with me because they knew I had the hotel hookup. So I made it kind of easy. But there are a lot of guys that didn't have the hotel hookups, and their rooms were real expensive. So if you don't know the travel game, you're going to be out a lot of money unless you got guys that rent a car. All four of them will get in the car, which they'll split the car. That makes it easy. And you have guys that share hotel rooms. You know, guys split the hotel room with another guy, so that kind of makes it easy. So it kind of has to work like that.
Yeah, so that's the situation with Ryback. I would say right now he's not headed back to WWE. I don't know what's going on with Ryback at this point.
If he's headed back to WWE and he's getting $500 a year, who cares about how expensive his hotel is? You can afford
True.
That. So what are you talking about?
Right. You know, their name in the news is Goldberg. Apparently, there's a report out there that he's in talks with WWE. This has been speculated for a long time about Goldberg coming back, having one more match, having one more run. We know he's in the new video game, but I don't know. Teddy, do you ever see Goldberg coming back and wrestling again in a WWE ring?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, I found out in this business, you never say never, and you never say who may show up. You never know. So, yeah, I do. I see him coming back.
If Goldberg wants to come back and they can make a deal, yeah, definitely. I can see Goldberg coming back. Goldberg is, whether people want to admit it or not, Goldberg is box office. Goldberg is still a name in this industry. There's a couple of different matches that you can do with Goldberg. You can put him in there against Brock Lesnar and let them try to, you know, do the wrong that was done at WrestleMania 20. Or you can put him in there against somebody he's never wrestled before, like The Undertaker. There's a lot of things you can do with Bill Goldberg. There's a lot of things you can utilize with Bill Goldberg. So if they can reach a deal, and they've done this previously with different people, I think it can be done. Absolutely. But one guy that is not going to be with the company any further is Alberto Del Rio.
Why is that, Frank?
Well, shit, see, didn't you know? He opted out. he had an opt-out clause, as we all know, and he's gone from the company. He was pissed off. He didn't like the fact that they put him, you know, with the mid-card stable, League of Nations. He didn't like that shit. He didn't like the Mex-America gimmick. He didn't like the fact that he wasn't a world championship contender. He didn't get the belt. He didn't do shit.
He didn't like anything.
He didn't like nothing. They didn't bring back Ricardo Rodriguez. So that's when I knew it was some bullshit with Del Rio. They didn't even bring back Ricardo Rodriguez, man, to be the personal ring announcer. They didn't do none of that. Where was the fancy cars? Nothing. There was no Maseratis. There wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
There was no Lambos. There wasn't nothing. He was just out there. So now he's like, you know what? He was like, they screwed with me. They brought me back. They screwed with me. I'm going to take the money, and I'm just, you know, I'm done. Because they pretty much lied to him. And then on top of that, I got my woman over here. I got my girl. And y'all messing that up, too? Oh, no. Uh-uh. Hold me on.
Yeah, from what I understand, Teddy, Alberto Del Rio wasn't one to hold his tongue backstage, was he?
No, he wasn't. He would always speak up. And sometimes, you know, he would speak up for the boys. If he felt somebody was done a wrong to, you know, he would speak up for them. So, yeah, he wasn't one of those guys that was, like, in good graces with the company.
Now the question would be is, I think we were talking before we did the show, is what, Paige is under contract for, what, 3 more years, 2 more years? You know, what do they do with Paige? They just suspended her for 30 days. Alberto Del Rio, her man, is leaving. What do they do, Teddy? Do they let her out of her contract, or do they just make her work for a couple more years?
Well, they could make her work for a couple of more years if they see that there's any money in her, you know, if they see where they're going to draw any money with her. And then I don't see them, you know, if she's got a big contract, I don't see them letting her sit out at home for a year or whatever it is and just continue to pay her money. I don't see them doing that, but you never know. So I just don't really know what her future is right now.
Yeah, Frank, do you think they let her go or do you think they make her work?
I think they make her work, man, because they have too much money invested in Paige to just all of a sudden just let her go. They're not going to let her go. They're going to keep her there. And they're going to keep her there to screw with Del Rio as well. WWE can be very petty when it comes to things like this.
I would just let her go if I was them. I wouldn't care. I mean, where is she going to go now? TNA? I mean, what would that accomplish?
But here's the thing, though. Why would you let her go, and she's under contract to you right now, and WWE has pretty much a unlimited cash, or, you know, cash source. Why would you let her go to let her work somewhere else and let her be happy? No, let's keep her under contract and let her be miserable working here.
The question is, I mean, she wouldn't mean anything to TNA, really. I mean, she couldn't use the name Paige, I wouldn't think. Why not? Why not let her go? I mean, if you get rid of her, she's probably got that 90-day cycle. She'll have to sit out for 3 months. Then she goes to TNA at the end of the year and doesn't mean anything. So why not?
Because number one,
she doesn't want to be there.
Well, Paige is young, you know what I'm saying? She's young. So she's just in this puppy love phase right now with Del Rio. And she needs to be thinking about her career at this point and making money. Because, hey, when Del Rio leaves, you know, when he's gone, she's still going to be there. Because there is no way in hell, no chance in hell, that WWE is going to let her out of her deal. Not going to happen. They have no reason to. And if they do let her have a deal, they're probably going to get her to sign one of those no competes like they had Brock Lesnar sign years ago when he left.
And then you're screwed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be screwed and miserable and making money than screwed and miserable and can't work nowhere. You dig what I'm saying?
The only thing would be is if she's working the WWE schedule and Rio goes, or Del Rio goes down to Mexico or Lucha Underground or even TNA, I mean, they would never see each other.
No, he's just going to go in there and give him some new cutty. That's it.
Like Frank said, he just moved on. I mean, it ain't like they're married.
No, that's true. Okay. And he was married, and what did that get him? Nowhere.
Don't get you nowhere. Exactly. But we don't really know what the deal is with that. All I know is this, all right? If they don't let her out of the contract, and you know, Del Rio has to go back to, you know, working for Lucha Underground or something like that, and maybe these things don't work. You know, they'll never see each other or whatever. It is what it is. I mean, Paige will find somebody new, and Del Rio will find somebody. Probably multiples, you know?
Right. You know, Teddy, podcast two ago, you were talking about the shady promoter there in Georgia, and you were given this – you were talking about this story of one-man gang who made a – I think you said a 10-hour car trip from Louisiana down to Georgia, and then, of course, he didn't get paid, had to drive all the way back. And while you're talking to him, his house is underwater. He doesn't know what's going to be when he gets back. There was a picture of his house, and all his belongings are water damaged, his couches, all his personal belongings. And they actually set up a GoFundMe, which we plugged at Gerwick.net. A real sad situation right now. And if you're out there and you have a couple extra dollars, one man gang has basically lost everything now with his house, and a real bad situation. So if you can go to the GoFundMe account, you can pledge a couple of dollars, and I'm sure he would appreciate it.
Yeah, that's one guy that I was talking about. And don't get me wrong, I felt bad for everybody there that didn't get paid, you know, because I'm on the other side, and I understand, you know, how they all feel. But, you know, with One Man Gang, you know, me and him had a chance to, you know, talk, have a conversation, too, and we go way back. You know, at the one time I did manage him along with Kevin Sullivan, and we had a great time back in NWA days and WCW. But, you know, he can't, you know, when we talked, he told me about, like you said, about the 10-hour drive. He drove up from Louisiana to come up. And, you know, my thing was, you know, I started thinking about him. And then he showed me his house that day, you know, before it was on the water. It was, you know, the water was like halfway. So it was heading there. And he said, yeah, I just got this picture here. Let me show you. He said, this is my house. So now here's a man that has to go back home, drive another 10 hours back down to Louisiana with no money. He's got to pay his way back, and then now he's got to go home to his house all flooded out. So that's really a sad situation. I really felt bad for him. And like you said, Steve, you know, the GoFundMe link is on the Gerwick website there. And if anybody got any extra money, whatever it is, let's please keep the One Man Gang in our prayers, and you know, send him what you can.
Absolutely, I believe as well. Booker T is also helping the Louisiana victims of the flooding down there. So if you can spare a dollar, $2, whatever it is.
No, it's a very serious situation going on here with One Man Gang, and apparently he lost a lot of, you know, wrestling memorabilia that he's had over years, and it's really sad. And I'm definitely going to donate to his GoFundMe, and I urge the listeners out there, hey, listen, you know what? You can spend all this money supporting WWE. Well, let's help out a former WWE superstar who needs our help right now.
And also, since you did mention that, let's see what the WWE does for him.
That's right. I mean, he's got a lawsuit going against him right now, Teddy. Let's not forget that.
Okay, well, then that may stop them from doing anything for him if they plan on doing anything. I don't know. But lawsuit, I don't think that should be held against him. If they can help him, they should help him.
Absolutely.
Like I said, if you got a couple extra dollars, can help out the One Man Gang, that would be greatly appreciated. Real quickly here at Gerwick.net, poll results. What did you think of the WWE SummerSlam event? We weighed in. I think what Frank said, 6.5. I gave it a 5.0 on a 10 scale, which is probably about the same range here. C won the poll with 34%, followed by 32%, so B. So I guess, Frank, they thought it was between a C and B show.
I'd have to agree, but I'm sticking to my rating.
Yeah, I am too. I said 5.0. Thought it was in the middle, unfortunately. That's just my two cents there. This one that's got a lot of controversy is Seth Rollins to blame for Finn Balor's injury? We put it out there. Some people took exception to this poll, Frank. I actually got a few people saying, why would you put a poll like this out? And I thought, I don't know. That's what people are talking about. That's what we do for polls. You know, you want to see what the public thinks. And 69%. Think that Seth Rollins is responsible for Finn Balor's injury. That's a tough one to say, Teddy, to put it all on him. I mean, as you said, things happen in a match. But at the same time, you know, Seth is developing this reputation right now.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, you know, it's just sad for him. You know, I definitely don't think he deserves, you know, this bad rap that he's getting. Like I said, he's a real nice guy, and I don't think that he meant to hurt anybody that he hurt in that ring. I really don't think he meant that. Things happen in the ring. It's just with him, it just keeps happening to him. That's all I can say about that. But I do think that he is, that he feels bad about what's happened. You know, he has some remorse. And I just don't think he deserves all that bad rap. Things happen, man.
I don't know, Frank, can you pin it all on Seth Rollins in this match?
No, I really can't. I mean, it looks bad. It does. It looks really bad. I mean, first Cena, then Sting, and now Finn Balor. But if you look at the video here, it really looks like, you know, Finn Balor played a part in that too. Just the way he took the bump. You know what? Like I said before last week, the bump wasn't needed. It wasn't even needed in the match. They could have told a great story like they were doing without taking that bump. And it's just he has that stigma now about him, you know. And it doesn't, you know, make it any better that Bret Hart keeps bringing it up over and over again. So I don't know, man. It is what it is, though.
Okay, we got a question here for Teddy. It's from our good friend Bruce, a regular listener to the podcast. He wants to know from Teddy, what was James Brown like in person?
James Brown, he was a great man. He was very professional, and he was strictly business. You know, when I was working for him at one time, he did fire me because I didn't have on a tie, and he's real strict about his employees wearing ties. And the other thing that he was strict about is people calling him Mr. Brown. And I remember a time that we at a concert, and he was performing, and he was real strict about the band members, you know, as far as them, you know, playing the instruments right and hitting the right notes. And I would see him sometime when some guy would hit a wrong note while they were performing. I'd watch James, and James would look over at him, and James, when he looked at him, he would just start flashing his fingers up, you know, like 5, 10. He was letting him know exactly how much he was going to be fined while they were performing. So he was a great guy, man. I really enjoyed working with him, and I had a great time with him.
And as we wrap with you here, Teddy, this weekend, you got any shows coming up? TeddyLong.com is the website. Teddy Play Along on Twitter. And, of course, we are at Gerwick for the website and at Gerwick Report as well on Twitter. What do you got coming up on your big schedule there, Teddy?
Well, the schedule for this week, September 10th, like I've told them in the past, I'm going to be at Wildcat Sports down in New Orleans, Louisiana, for their first TV show, which will air at on Channel 50, WUPL, so I'll be doing that. And I may be a part of WrestleCade here doing September 24th and 25th in North Carolina. I don't know yet. It hadn't been confirmed, but I may be a part of that. And other than that, brother, I'm going to be taking it easy.
Sounds good.
Just check out youtube.com/GerwickNet. Subscribe today so you'll know whenever we put out new content. And other than that, I'm a huge fan of Naomi's big ass.
On that note, we'll see you next week here on the Gerwick Report Podcast.